This podcast is brought to you by my new book, Mass Corruption, Volume 1, The Cops, The Breakdown of Law and Order, the story of Karen Reed, Sandra Birchmore, and many other corrupt events in Massachusetts in recent years. If it can happen to them, it can happen to you. Save $5 when you pre-order your copy now at HowieCarrShow.com. Click on store.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
You either have grace or you don't.
Read Grace's work in The Spectator and see her recommended reading at gracecurleyshow.com.
She's a nasty woman. She's a really nasty woman.
Now, here's the millennial with the mic.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley, host of the Grace Curley Show.
Grace.
Grace Curley.
Grace!
Welcome to the Grace Curley Show. I'm Taylor Cormier filling in for Grace. Thanks so much for tuning in today. We've got a lot to cover this hour. We've got Two-Way Tuesday with Toby Leary coming up at 1:45 and much more in between now and then. 844-500-4242, taking your calls. Trump does have an announcement today at 2 o'clock from the Oval Office. I see Fox has been reporting that it's going to be the announcement that he's moving the Space Command, you know, the headquarters for Space Force from, I believe, Colorado to, is it to Arizona? I forget where he's moving it exactly, but he's moving it out of a blue state to a red state. And that's expected to be the announcement. The last time he did an announcement from the Oval Office that I recall was he's moving it to Alabama. I'm sorry, not Arizona, Alabama. Last time he did an announcement, and he said it was a big announcement from the Oval Office, he announced that FIFA was having their World Cup draw from the Kennedy Center in December. Okay, who cares? I don't think that. Grace says this all the time. She hates the when they come back from a commercial, the Fox News alerts, the breaking news, and it's something that they've been covering all day. Exactly. And that's exactly what Trump's announcement was the last time in the Oval Office. But we'll see. I mean, this is big. If you're moving the headquarters of a military branch, and Space Force is a military branch, thank you to 2016 to 2020 Trump, that administration, they made Space Force a big thing. I think that's one of his greatest accomplishments. People gloss over that one. But one of the greatest accomplishments, I think, is establishing a new branch of the military. That's huge. When's the last time a president did that? Adding a new dimension to our military frontier. I think that's pretty badass. 844-500-4242. So we'll keep an eye on that today after the show and throughout Howie's show as well. So Labor Day weekend, we finally got the tallies on all of the violence that took place over Labor Day weekend in Chicago. And here it is. 53 people shot. Actually, this one's outdated. This was from this morning. This has only 5 people dead. It's actually 7. That was out of Breitbart. Just a couple of...
Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town.
Sing it, Frank.
Chicago, Chicago.
I'll shoot you down.
I love it. That's about a dollar you
The weekend's first fatal shooting occurred at 11:56 p.m. Friday. So they almost went a whole Friday without a homicide in Chicago. And I do count Friday as the weekend. But they couldn't do it. They couldn't go one day. 25-year-old woman shot dead. 12 hours later, 11:01 a.m. Saturday, 29-year-old man was shot to death at a drive-by. The man and a friend were standing outside when the shooting occurred. 7:46 p.m. on Saturday, a 43-year-old woman was killed when 5 men walked up to her and began shooting. Sunday at 1:39 a.m., 3 men were shot, and one of them, a 46-year-old, succumbed to his wounds. 2:52 Sunday morning, a 33-year-old man is shot in the head and killed during an argument. And there were more. 7 of the 54 people shot over the weekend in Chicago died. 7 people killed, 48 others hurt in shootings across Chicago. Ages of the victims range from 14 to 50. A 43-year-old man, 10:30 p.m. actually, Friday night, was the first one, as Breitbart got 11:56 p.m. But this one says one more took place before that, 10:30 p.m. A 43-year-old man was arguing with an unidentified man who then pulled out a gun and fired multiple shots at the victim before fleeing. Victim was hit in the left shin, was taken to the University of Chicago Medical Center in good condition. Just before midnight, one woman killed and another was hurt in a shooting inside an apartment building. So it seems, I mean, and if you go through the past few Labor Days, it's pretty consistent, the numbers. 7 1 year, 6 the year before that, maybe 9 before the year that, homicides over Labor Day weekend in Chicago. But this is part and parcel to the Democrat Party and the Democrat leadership in Illinois. J.B. Pritzker continues to double and triple whopper, I mean triple down on the fact that he doesn't want Trump sending in the National Guard to Chicago. Brandon Johnson, the mayor, continues to say that he doesn't want Trump sending the National Guard into Chicago. And this was actually Mayor Brandon Johnson yesterday at a Labor Day rally, I guess, because is that what we do now? It used to be cookouts, right? You have a cookout in the backyard. It's a pretty chill day. You've got the Monday off, a few beers. You play some cornhole or whatever, and it's a good time. That's it. Maybe you go up to the lake in New Hampshire, whatever. But in Chicago, they hold rallies on Labor Day, apparently. This is Mayor Brandon Johnson. Sounds like he's not calling for peace in Chicago, which is what everybody else is calling for. Cut one.
Are you prepared to defend this land that was built by slaves, a land that was built by indigenous people, a land that is built by workers? Are you prepared to defend this land? The people united will always prevail. I need you all to stand firm, to stand strong. If this president decides to continue to break this Constitution.
Did you get that? Indigenous people and slaves built not the city, they built the land. They came here and they said, wow, this is a pretty great lake. I think we should fill part of it and build a city here. And that's apparently what they did, according to Mayor Brandon Johnson of Chicago. Defend the city. People are trying to just live life. They want to walk down the street without fear of being shot in the head in a random act of violence. They want to not fear for their lives on a daily basis. I get it. There's bad parts of Chicago. I mean, there's been songs written about it, right? South side of Chicago, baddest part of town. And if you go down there, you better just beware of a man named Leroy Brown. But not allowing the National Guard in because you're afraid that it's going to hurt your approval rating? It's going to hurt the people living in Chicago? How? How is it going to make things worse? The only way it can make things worse, if you are calling for people to defend the city against federal troops and what you're calling an invasion, you have crime-ridden streets. You have people that are just running around with guns, shooting down anybody they choose. Listen to this. This is a Chicago resident, and this is a video he took. He's a referee at a kid's soccer game, a peewee soccer game, whatever they are. Not a soccer guy. And in the middle of the game, shots start ringing out nearby. Everybody gets down on the lawn at a kid's soccer game. There's scores of children around. They can't even play soccer without their game being interrupted by violence. Cut four.
In Chicago, everybody got to get down. Everybody got to get down because they shoot. Everybody down. Look, look, these kids are running. They shooting. We can't have no fun in Chicago, man. No fun, man. This is terrible. I ought to throw a goddamn flag. Because this y'all neighborhood.
I don't mean to laugh. But that was, I ought to throw a flag. I ought to throw a goddamn flag. It's sad. It's so sad. People literally cannot have nice things. You cannot have nice things in Chicago. Like a Saturday or Sunday afternoon, a peewee soccer game for the kids without it being interrupted by stray bullets going across the field and not knowing where they're going to land. Awful. Absolutely terrible. Yet, whose fault is this? Well, it can't be the politicians there. It can't be the people actually carrying out the violence. Can't be the people. It can't be the cash bails of the no cash bail. It can't be any other of these policies that the Democrats have enacted in Chicago to let these people just skate and skate and skate. There's only one person to blame. This is Chicago Alderman Byron Sigcho Lopez, and he's found the one man you can blame for Chicago's issues. Cut two.
And how do you respond, Alderman? I heard you sort of allude to it there, that there's more work to be done. How do you respond to the argument that there were something like 50-plus shootings, 52 people, I should say, were shot in Chicago, 30 different shootings over the holiday weekend, 7 people killed? Aren't numbers like that still a problem that your city needs to address? What more can be done to address that?
Well, I think that what we need to be do is that we also had a mass shooting in a Catholic school. We also have had many instances where the administration has really escalated, exacerbated the violence in our country, in our cities. Trump is a dictator. I think we got to be very clear. He's trying to normalize violence. He's trying to normalize military deployment in American cities like LA, DC, Chicago, and many others to come.
Trump has exacerbated.
Everybody's always blaming me for everything.
He's exacerbated the violence in Chicago because of a shooting in Minnesota. Am I getting that right? Is that what the alderman in Chicago was saying? Because there was a shooting in Minnesota and at a school, and Trump is using the National Guard in DC. That somehow has led to an uptick in violence in Chicago. Do I have that correct? I just wanted to make sure because, listen, I'm not the greatest geographically, and I don't know how one thing really impacts another, but I'm glad that the Chicago alderman was able to explain that to me, that because of a school shooting with a trans shooter in Minneapolis and Trump deploying the National Guard to rousing success, by the way, and to praise from D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser, who has given Trump credit for cleaning up the streets of Washington, D.C., and thanked him for his help, that has all impacted the streets of Chicago. Bad, bad Leroy Brown is not to be feared anymore. 844-500-4242. I'm Taylor Cormier. This is The Grace Curley Show.
More of The Grace Curley Show up next. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show, 844-500-4242. Today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. Call 1-844-A-PERFECT-SMILE or visit perfectsmiles.com. Jared, what's today's poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is who would you next like to see retire from Congress? Senator Chuck Grassley, age 91, Rep. Nancy Pelosi, age 85, Senator Bernie Sanders, age 83, or Rep. Maxine Waters, age 87?
I'm going to go with Pelosi.
Pelosi is at 40% right now. Maxine Waters in the lead at 44%.
Wow.
11% for Bernie Sanders and 4% for Chuck Grassley.
I wonder, I mean, I'd much rather have Pelosi out over Maxine Waters. Pelosi knows how to wield her power. Maxine Waters is just loud. That's all. She makes herself look a fool all the time. Remember when he sent the National Guard over to L.A. in June and Maxine Waters went down to the detention center, one of the makeshift detention centers where they were holding somebody, and she tried to get in saying that she was a representative. They wouldn't let her in. And she was on a street where she's like, there's no violence here. There's nothing going on here. Two streets over, they were throwing rocks at cops. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. I would much rather get rid of Pelosi first, but I don't know. I think she's going to really meet an end like Dianne Feinstein did. 844-500-4242. That's the poll question today, because Jerry Nadler has said that he's not going to seek re-election in 2026. He's 78 years old. He would be 80 by the time he's in the race. Well, actually up for re-election. So he's said that it's time to pass on the torch. And that's fine, because he wasn't able to waddle it very far anyway. Jim, you're next on the Grace Curley Show. Thanks for hanging on, Jim. Go ahead.
Hey, Taylor, you're doing a great job filling in.
Thank you.
Grace is doing well. I was thinking about this violence in Chicago. I think, if I'm not mistaken, they have some of the most strict gun laws in the country.
Correct.
So I think we're just going to have to make them more strict and just have everybody turn all their guns in. Just everybody. Because you know the bad guys will just walk right up and just say, well, you're right. You know, we need to stop all this violence.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah. No, I always laugh when they do these, you know, guns for grocery programs. Like, these aren't people that are, you know, they're not gangsters. They're not coming in saying, you know what, I'm turning back my entire life of crime for a single bag of groceries. That's not how this works. These programs don't work. And laws that protect against this kind of violence apparently doesn't work. You have to enforce and actually have a system that is backing up when you're putting these people into jail. You've got to keep them locked up and make sure that the judicial system and the process that they're going through is actually going to see that through. And some scumbag lawyer is not going to get them out on a technicality or some sort of a hardship grievance. It's ridiculous. 844-500-4242. Let's have Alderman Byron Sigcho Lopez wrap up his comments here. Cut three.
What we have not seen is really a systemic investment that will actually address the core issues. I had shootings in my ward. One of them was a tragic shooting of an unhoused neighbor. So the Trump administration is saying that they're going to address the issue of unhoused residents by putting them in jails, in concentration camps. Are they going to address the issue of violence by withholding $800 million that have gone to the cities like Chicago for violence prevention programs? $200 million that the Trump administration is withholding for substance abuse programs? I think that this has to do a lot with distracting the public and to create a distractions in a time when the American public needs solutions.
Again, it's like the same thing with the housing crisis in California, the homeless crisis. By the way, he said unhoused neighbor. You want to explain that one to me? What's an unhoused neighbor? But like in California with the homeless, the more programs you have there, Elon Musk pointed this out, the more programs you have to get rid of homelessness in California, the more homelessness you end up with. The problem's only gotten worse the more you subsidize it. Imagine that. We'll be back. So much more to say. Tim Walz wishing for Donald Trump's death. Coming up on The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio, it's The Grace Curley Show.
So today, Ryan Ruth, the man who had ties very, very weird ties to Ukraine, and it's kind of like this mercenary was trying to recruit people to help in the war against Russia. He's an American citizen, but was somehow involved in possibly selling arms to Ukraine. It's just very, very weird. The man who tried to assassinate Donald Trump and had him just about in his sights on the golf course last year, he is in court today for a pre-trial hearing, and he's representing himself. That's always a good sign. Anybody who represents themselves as a fool for a client. Was that Mark Twain said that? Somebody a lot smarter than I said that. And he, this is just circumstantial here, but Tim Walz happened to say this yesterday. And he was talking about, you know, it was interesting to see over the weekend these rumors that President Trump was unwell and he was perhaps unalived, dead. This was Tim Walz just yesterday. Again, probably at a Labor Day rally. I don't know what these people are doing. Go home. Go barbecue with your families. But Tim, why don't you go home? Give the wife some pleasure by setting fire to tires in the backyard. That's all you have to do. Roast a chicken on your burning Michelins, okay? And then eat it. Do everybody a favor. But this was Tim Walz yesterday, cut six.
You get up in the morning and you doom scroll through things. And although I will say this, the last few days you woke up thinking there might be news. Just saying. There will be news sometime. Just so you know, there will be news.
That was Abraham Lincoln, by the way, who said a man who represents himself as a fool for a client. Same time frame. But Tim Walz, he said he was doom scrolling yesterday and thought that there might be news that Trump was dead. And he was disappointed, basically, is what he was saying, that Trump was not dead. And then reveled in the fact that one day there will be news. And he hopes that he will live long enough to see the headline, Trump dead.
Stop it. Get some help.
Bro, you just had two mass shootings in Minneapolis at two different schools. Where are your priorities? It's not with the children. It's not with your constituents. It's with aligning yourself and keeping yourself propped up as some sort of Democrat bastion, as some sort of icon. And you just hope that you get a shout out from Kamala in her book, 107 Days. And you hope to follow up with that, your own experience running for a failed vice president presidential ticket. Absolutely ghoulish on, it doesn't matter what day it is, if it's a holiday, a Labor Day, or just any day of the week, to say, even on the heels of two mass shootings in your state, in Minneapolis, one where two children were killed by a transgender, and by the way, you declared Minnesota to be a safe haven for transgender students. You signed that order for transgender people, I should say. You signed that order to, you know, great acclaim from all the other crazy crackpot liberals in your area. But something that is now on your shoulders, and you're wishing for violence resulting in death on the president of the United States. If this were somebody, anybody, if this were Ron DeSantis, for instance, wishing death upon Joe Biden while he was president, this would be in the news cycle for the rest of the week. And he would have to issue an apology. There would be somebody announcing a primary against him. He would be dismissed as a serious person from the Republican Party. He would not be hailed as a hero. He would not be presidential material in the future. Any political aspirations he had would be dead on the vine. But not Tim Walz, not the Democrats. They don't have that kind of accountability on their side. They don't care. Whatever you say about Trump is right. And, oh, God, we all wish he was dead. I agree with you, Tim Walz. These people are unhinged. It's disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. By the way, one more thing I want to get to. Kind of related to this. This was rich. Again, we're playing the what if, what aboutism with Tim Walz and, you know, any given Republican. If a Republican said that, what would happen? Ex-Biden aide Megan Hayes criticizes transparency around Donald Trump's health. How's that for a headline? How rich is that? Former Biden administration aide Megan Hayes on Monday argued the Trump administration is not being transparent about President Trump's absence from public events. He took 2 days off from being in the public, making public appearances, and people are saying he's not being transparent. Joe Biden was the most, was the least visible president in the history of presidents. Nobody in his orbit was transparent about his health. And you, as a Biden aide, you don't get to come out and say, well, they're not being transparent about Trump's health. Because we have, the guy was on vacation almost half of his presidency. Vacation. He was forced out of the White House for extended weekends so the big boys and girls around his, in his orbit, could actually do his job for him and use the auto pen. President Trump is right to hang up the auto pen in the Presidential Hall of Fame in the Rose Garden in replacement of Joe Biden's actual portrait. 2A Tuesday is coming up in just a few moments. Stay tuned for Toby Leary. But first, Omaha Steaks. I love grilling in the fall. I mean, it's still technically summer, but it's the unofficial start to fall after Labor Day. There's a little crisp in the air after the sun starts to set a little bit. You know, it's starting to set earlier and earlier. I love grilling any time of year, but there's just something really special about grilling in the fall. And a great way to get that grill going and really make it live up to the standards that you have set for yourself and your family is to throw some Omaha Steaks onto the grill. Juicy burgers, tender steaks. I think they have chicken tendies too. They might. I think they do have chicken. Cozy and convenient comfort meals plus tailgating favorites. Chicken wings, smash burgers, big deli style Franks. The
chickens.
The hot dogs are incredible. Jared's not the only one that likes them. And now during their Red Hot sale event, you can get 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com. They only do this a couple times a year, so make sure you go to omahasteaks.com, put in code GRACE at checkout, and get 50% off plus an extra $35 off with promo code GRACE at checkout. It's so, I mean, it's shipped to your door. You just throw it in the freezer, and when you feel like having a good quality meal, you reach in, you defrost it for the day, you throw it on the grill, and you're off and cooking. It's so good. The quality is second to none. The taste is right up there as well, and they provide you with so many different recipes that you can make as well. It's Heartland quality food delivered right to your door. Five generations of uncompromising quality. They've been around since 1917, over 100 years of expertise in the meat industry. Get fired up for fall grilling with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Red Hot sale event. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code GRACE at checkout. That's 50% off at omahasteaks.com and an extra $35 off with promo code GRACE at checkout. See site for details. I'm Taylor Cormier, 2A Tuesday with Toby Leary coming up on The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will return. This is The Grace Curley Show. It's 2A Tuesday with Toby Leary of Cape Gunworks.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm Toby, Ammo King.
Toby breaks down all of the latest Second Amendment news and takes all of your firearm-related questions.
Every American has the right to hang a pair of bear arms on their wall. How could that possibly be misconstrued?
2A Tuesday is brought to you by the Byrna Less Lethal Pistol Launcher. For those who want a powerful self-defense option without resorting to deadly force. Available at Byrna.com and at Cape Gunworks in Hyannis.
Yeah, you can give us a call now. Toby Leary is on the line if you have a gun question for him, or text your question to 617-213-1066. Make sure you start your message with the word curly to let it get through the lines here, and we can ask Toby as he is live online at 2A Tuesday here on the Grace Curley Show. Toby, thanks so much for joining us. First, I want to start out, have we learned anything new about the shooting in Minneapolis last week at the Annunciation School? Have we learned anything new about the shooter? Were they in possession of any illegal firearms? Was everything on the up and up as far as that's concerned?
You know, it's interesting. I've got that question quite a bit, and I haven't heard anything, Taylor. I do know that, you know, he had been plotting to kill children for a long period of time, and the fact that nobody in the community could have picked up on that is truly heartbreaking. I don't know if he bought the guns illegally or not, or legally. It doesn't really matter, I guess, if you think about it. If he passed a background check and did all the paperwork and, you know, managed to be sane enough to get by everybody else in his life, then, you know, there's not much you can do to stop it.
I heard that last week when somebody, when you were filling in, Toby, somebody, a fellow gun shop owner called in and said that anytime somebody like that, somebody who is obviously transgender and obviously he's profiling, and that's something that you have to do, is you have to profile as a gun shop owner, he denies their application, or and he has the right to do that, right?
Right. Yeah, there's no law that says you have to sell a gun to anybody, period. If something seems off, I would argue it's incumbent upon you to do the right thing and not sell that person a gun. If, you know, you're just trying to make $100 or something off somebody who's going to use that for ill intent, you're probably in the wrong business. The good news is, I think that's very rare, and, you know, less than, I think it's less than half of 1% of people actually die by gunshot, including the self-inflicted gunshot wounds all throughout the country. This is a media attention grab to basically try to disarm the 99.99% of people who use guns lawfully and legally, all just so that they can, you know, feel better about themselves or don't have to deal with the actual underlying issues of mental illness and violent criminals in our society. And they think the easiest thing to do, Taylor, would be to go ahead and probably try to make 400 million guns disappear in America, which is never going to happen. So instead of doing the hard work, they want to try and force lawful, peaceful people to turn in their arms, and somehow that will all make us safer, even though we all know the criminal and the psychopath and the evil people will never do that. So
now there is a movie premiere coming up the end of this week on Sunday. And it involves a Massachusetts story, and there's a lot of local angles to this, and it's something that you also have a keen interest in. Are you going to be at the premiere for Taken, the new film?
Yes. Yeah, I unless I'm in Colorado visiting my father, who, you know, fell and hurt his hip, which we could, I might be there in the following week. If I can be there, I will be there. You know, the more I look into what happens in Massachusetts, there's, you know, so many stories like this. Kyle Collada, who's still behind bars over almost two and a half months after being arrested for not having a in-state license, even though he's from out of state. We have another gentleman, Scott LaPaine, from Falmouth, who's been under house arrest for 18 months, still hasn't had his day in court for unlicensed possession of a firearm. And then we have the Rivera family here in Massachusetts, who had seen enough after refusing to vaccinate their children, decided to leave the state, go to Texas. They put an arrest warrant out for them and arrest him in Texas bring him back and separate him from his family, put his kids in child protective services. It is absolute madness that government has been given this type of control. I've pled with attorney, U.S. AG, assistant AG, Harmeet Dhillon, under the civil rights banner, to come to Massachusetts. You have to see what is going on with the civil rights violations in this state. This has to come to an end, Taylor, because, frankly, they're going to continue to make examples of good people who you don't need to worry about and make everybody else live in fear. All the while, they can stand up on, you know, Boston Common and blame Donald Trump for all of the shortcomings of Massachusetts. But I don't think people are buying it anymore. I think people are realizing, hey, we've created our own mess here, and it's time to straighten some things out. And that's what we're going to do by calling attention to every single one of these injustices that take place. And the civil right of natural law and protection is at the root of that, in the heart of it. People have a right to defend themselves against violence, and the best way to do that in a modern society is to be a responsible gun owner trained in the safe and efficient use of how to do it. So we're going to keep, you know, trumpeting that that exact cause. And I'm down in Missouri right now, but I'll be back this weekend. I'm at a manufacturer down here, CMMG. I'm really excited to do a tour of their factory tomorrow. And this is a great company, Taylor, that's actually changed the way firearms are made so that we can continue to sell them in Massachusetts. That is something that's not easy to do in production, and they do it because they know the people in Massachusetts have a vested interest in trying to keep their family and their livelihood. So they've come up with some firearms that'll kind of fit through the crazy checkerboard of laws.
So what they specialize in Massachusetts loopholes? And I mean, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Yep. And there's not too many manufacturers that do that, so I'm grateful for them. And when they asked me to come down, I said, absolutely, I would really like to come down and support this company. We sell a lot of their rifles in our shop. And, yeah, they have to change the entire way the gun is produced, and that costs millions of dollars. So I'm hoping that the people in Massachusetts will reciprocate and buy their great product. They make a phenomenal product. And they've been around for a long time. They're a leader in the industry. And so I'm looking forward to a good couple days here. And hopefully I'll have some goodies to sell when I get back, because we haven't, you know, they allegedly are going to show us some new products while we're down here. So that's really exciting. So I can't wait.
Very cool. We've got about a minute left here, Toby. If you were interested in that documentary he was talking about, it's called Taken, the State-Sanctioned Kidnapping, a new American-made documentary exposing the corruption of Department of Child and Family Services and Child Protection Services. And there's going to be a showing this Sunday at the Legacy Place Showcase Cinemas in Dedham, VIP reception at 6 and film screening at 7. Tickets are $25. Do you know where people can go, Toby, to get tickets?
I just reposted it on my Twitter account. If you go follow the @CapeGunworks account on X, you'll be able to find it, and there'll be a link right there you can follow, and you can sign up right there. I'm sure you could do it at the door as well, but probably best to get a ticket in advance. So, yeah, feel free to follow me on X while you're there, and follow the link and sign up. I'd love to see you there Sunday.
All right, Toby, thanks so much, and best of luck to your father as well, as we wish him a speedy recovery from, it's never a good thing when somebody takes a fall. Howie could tell you.
And to quote him, he would say, getting old ain't for sissies.
No, it's not. Thank you so much, Toby. We'll talk to you next time. And, of course, stay tuned, everybody, for Howie Carr, who is broadcasting at a remote location today. He is back from his Labor Day mini vacation. He had the nice weekend off. I'm sure spent it not at a rally, probably maybe did barbecue, maybe some Omaha steaks. You wouldn't find him palling around with Brendan Johnson or Tim Walz. Howie Carr coming up next. This is the Grace Curley Show.